I want to take some time this morning, and I want to share with you some things that I have learned this last month. Some of them I might say that I have relearned. And it's kind of a potpourri of things, and I hope that through it will be helped to you, because I think if I need to learn some things, I always think, well, people in general need to learn some things. And so I hope it'll be of a blessing and help to you. And we ought to always be improving, ought to always be learning and going forward. Somebody says, well, I'm too old to learn anything. Don't be stupid. You're never too old to learn things and to gain and to get better at and all those kinds of things. So praise the Lord. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we will begin in that this morning. Father, thank you so much for a time that we've had to gather together. Lord, I've been so excited about this day after a month away, and I pray that you might bless and work in hearts. Lord, I pray for each one that you would do a work in their life. Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me. And I pray that these things might be a blessing and help to your people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty. I'd like for you to take your Bible and turn with me to My Opinions, chapter number 1. You will find that right before Your Opinions, chapter 1. And so if you turn your Bible there, I'm not hearing any Bibles, Russell. One of the things I've learned is that opinions won't change the world. Have you noticed? Opinions won't change the world, but they can sure strain relationships. And how we need to learn that in our lives. Opinions are generally based upon the facts we perceive. You ever think about that? Based upon the facts we perceive, we forget that others see things differently than we do. If we talk about the four gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one of the things that's common in teaching those four books is that Matthew looked at Jesus as a king. He saw the kingly aspect. When you read and study the book of Mark, he looks at him as a servant, constantly serving. You look at him through the eyes of Luke and you find him as a man. Luke the physician saw him as man, the son of man. And then when you come to the book of John, unique, I believe, from the other three, and his picture and how he sees Christ is more vividly as the Son of God than the others. So there's these different viewpoints, all the same facts, all the same Lord. And so all of us view things and perceive them differently, a lot of times because of background, number of different things. Okay? I can perceive things differently because my glasses are dirty. Isn't that true? And when I'm looking at stuff, I always got this little spot right here in my vision that it's always just kind of booming around just a little bit, and it's that blind spot that I developed a few months ago. But how we perceive things, by the way, can be very important. And we forget that others see things differently. I want you to think about Matthew chapter 16. You might turn there with me. Matthew chapter 16. And we're going to look here at verse number 13, 14, 15, and 16. And it's interesting what Jesus does here. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" What's he doing? He's asking his disciples what they think the opinion of the people is. And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." Now notice this. He said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And of course we have the great answer. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You ever wonder what the other 11 disciples were thinking? what they perhaps had seen, though they'd been with Jesus as much as John had. And so we find that there's facts out there. How we perceive them becomes can be very different from one person to another. Christians of all people ought to be very gracious in this area. There's a tenet in the Baptist doctrine. Perhaps you've heard this. I've taught it many, many years ago. But it told me, using the alliteration of Baptist, and you come to the word or the letter I, and Baptists hold to what we call individual soul liberty. Isn't that a mouthful? And basically what that means is that we have the freedom to think for ourselves. We have the liberty to believe upon Christ and not be forced to. Eh? We don't force men to accept Christ by the sword like the Muslims do, but by accepting and believing the truth of the gospel. So we have this individual soul liberty. And so we need to be gracious in this area, understanding that people have the ability and the right to reason things for themselves. Now, as Christians, we have, I believe, too much to understand from the Bible and its gospel truth that will save men's souls than to be so caught up in many, many other things. Do you realize today, there's a movement going on, I'm sure you know this, called BLM, Black Lives Matter. And black lives do matter. White lives matter, green lives, whatever color you are. But I think that's better said in this fact, and it ought to be in our hearts, every soul matters. Amen? Every soul matters. And with that in mind, we need to have the truth of the gospel so embedded into our heart and our souls. Now, we think about many things taking place today. We think about face masks. I walk into stores and people have got them on and some don't have them on. And you look on the news, you find that they're tearing down statues and defacing things. And symbols are being changed and all of these kinds of things that are taking place today. Sometimes I just kind of smile and laugh about it, but not from a funny standpoint, don't misunderstand. But these things might be good for discussion amongst people that are like-minded, but you know, most of those kinds of things are not going to help us win the lost. Most of those things are not going to really help us in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9 says something, I believe, very marvelous. Paul, as he's speaking to these people, says, for though I be free from all men, chapter 9, verse 19, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, to them under the law as under the law, that I might gain them under the law. To them that are without law as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Interesting verses. And so we find that, listen, we have opinions about a lot of things, but I want to change the world. But we do find that it can strain our relationships, and we do find that we need to be, and I need this so much, to be gracious in all of these things. I found out there are people who don't agree with me. I mean, can you believe that? They're wrong, they must be going to hell, but they don't agree with me. And sometimes it's almost the way we feel, isn't it? But my feelings don't have anything to do with it. It's the fact we have the Word of God. Marvelous, marvelous words that we have there. And thank God for it. Number two, the second thing I learned that I thought was presented so marvelously, I went Wednesday night to church at the campus church in Pensacola. It's where my daughter goes. They were having what they called teen, I was going to say exchange, but it's teen extreme. And they have all kinds of games, all sorts of things. Well, in the evening, they had a service, and these teens from around the country, different churches and so forth, they come together, and they have a service. And, of course, they did a couple of goofy things like they do out at camp with the the word had left me. And, you know, there were a few things like that which I couldn't hear or understand. So anyway, they all had fun, and that was good. Pastor Jeff Redlin, he got up to speak. And I don't remember the text he used, but I do remember this. He talks about walls of separation. He talks about building walls in our lives. And he used the term walls, and then he compared that to standards. I found it tremendously helpful. For what he was saying there is, we have standards, or we have walls that separate us, not to make us think we're more holy than somebody else if we do this and they don't, or they do it and we don't. And far too often that's what takes place with standards. But they are those things that are built to keep things in and to keep things out. In the wintertime, I'm very thankful for these walls. It'd be tough to have a service, even if we had the roof over here, if we didn't have walls. You folks would be sitting there shivering to death. Some of you said, well, it'd be nice today. No, if we didn't have those walls today, you might be sitting here sweating. And what's it do? It keeps things in, it keeps things out. Okay? And so they're there for our protection. It's not a hindrance, it's a protection. And so what do we have? We have standards. And every person has standards. And we must develop those in our own lives. For instance, there's standards of dress. And just to give you my own example, I come to church, I always wear a suit. Now, I can go to church and wear a pair of slacks what do you call those one kind of shirts? Polo. I can't remember anything this morning. And that's what I wear much of the time through the summer. But I'm not going to come to church that way. Because I have a certain standard, because I want to be able to present Christ, and in doing so, that others might realize this is so important to him that he's dressed up for the occasion. And so I have a standard of dress. I could come without a tie. A lot of guys say, well, they don't like ties. The only thing around their neck. I assume that you are married to a woman that likes to choke you to death. Anyways, we have standards of dress. There's standards for dating. There's young folks today, they make certain standards in their lives. They say, I'm not going to do this, I will do this, but I won't do that. And so they set dating standards. Matter of fact, Brother Redlin, he talked about a couple that he had. They got married just not too long before. And he says, here they are standing in front of me, and they had made a standard. They were not going to kiss until the day of their wedding. And of course, he made a big deal about this. He says, man, I am this guy that's standing here with 2 feet from these two people. They're ready to kiss for the very first time in their life. He says, what do you say? How do you act? And it was hilarious hearing him go through a bunch of things. But he said, when it got all done and he kissed her, he said, nobody else heard it, but he says, I heard it. He says, wow. And why? They'd set a standard. And they kept it. And God was going to bless in their life. There are standards of dieting. I'll guarantee you, you serve me a steak that's got a half inch of fat around it, there's a knife coming out going to cut that fat off, and my dog would be happy. Because she has no standards of dieting. But I have standards in what I eat. Some of you folks, you'll eat certain things, not eat other things. I mean, there's folks today that they're going to what? They have a standard of dieting whereby they're not going to eat anything that's meat. It's all going to be vegetables or fruits and so forth. And that's their deal. To keep with the D, I go to ditties, because there are standards in music as well. And we must set those. What is the standard? What is that which is going to help us to be more like Christ? What will cause us to go away from Christ is what we need to look at. And so we set those standards in our dress. We do it in our young people with dating, dieting, ditties. And we could talk about so many different things. Their purpose is not to deprive, but to protect against. I have spoken and taught on separation my entire life as a Christian, and I loved the way that was presented. And it meant so much to me, and I hope that I can be better in teaching these standards, so to speak, in days to come ahead. Thirdly, many of you, I thank the Lord for it. You've been listening to my Proverbs. Sorry I didn't get all of those in. A couple of days we were traveling and so forth. And but I think I got, five or six of the messages in Proverbs. And I have really been enjoying those. For the last couple of weeks, I have learned, as a matter of fact, it seems like there's a whole section, I have learned with even more intensity the importance of right words. Are you listening? The importance of right words. This tongue of ours is powerful. And it can be a great help to people, or it can be a hindrance. What we say is very important. Perhaps we could also say what we don't say is very important. And my problem here is, and I'll use the word we because I believe it's true, we as a people have forgotten graciousness in speech and often attack speakers rather than seek truth with all men. You know, there are times that what you might say is true, but it might be better if you didn't say it at all. I mean, you look at somebody and say, you got a booger in your nose, you look ugly. It might be true, but you might want to be careful how you do that. You understand what I'm saying? And so we have these things of words. My mother used to tell me, I'm sure you probably heard it from your mother, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. And really, those are very, very wise words. I find today that there is an enemy of our soul, and it is the devil. And one of the things he's trying to do is divide and conquer us. He's trying to do it in our nation. He's trying to do it in our churches. He's trying to do it in our families. I mean, everywhere you look, he is seeking to do exactly that. And our lack of gracious speech is helping him do it. And it's sad to see. Listen, there's all kinds of things being put out right now, and people get all divided over it, and what happens then? The devil has an opportunity to conquer. You know, if we're in Christ, thank God for it. We have a privilege as a local church to be in Christ and, you know, move forward and so forth. We understand that when we are dealing with words, there are... let's use the word criticism. There are people that are not mature enough to receive it. Do you realize that there's a better way sometimes than to start off with criticism? Many years ago, we take the training for our ACE, and I remember so well that Dr. Howard got up, and one day he made, I think the entire hour, he talked about the fact that we ought to have, when we deal with people, the sandwich effect. You got your bread, you got your meat, you got your bread. And he said, you need to understand. You start with something good, you tell them what's wrong, and then you tell them what's good. And working with kids, it works. I mean, if all you do is walk up to a kid and tell him how terrible he is, he's going to turn you off instantly. But if you can look at him and see something that is... complimentary in any way whatsoever, You really are starting to build a relationship, and they're more likely to listen to you when you tell them something that is not what they really want to hear. Matter of fact, when they believe that you really mean business with them, they are ready to hear your, and I'll go back to the opinions on this, and even ask for it, because they know it won't be combative. We need to watch our speech. Amen. I'm speaking to myself. I'm talking about things that I have learned. Because many times I can be so ready to say things I ought to just shut up for. And then there are times that I need to say things that would be helpful, and I hold back. Perhaps because I just don't like them. Boy, is that a wrong thought? So I've learned some things there. Another thing I've learned, and it's from my quarantine with COVID, I learned just how much I love being with people. Do you know the? It was tough back in, was it March, and we had to shut down for a few weeks, or we were asked to, and we did. And it was so blessed on Mother's Day to open back up, and folks began to come, and little by little, some were beginning to come. They'd been fearful, and then they decided to come, and then a whole bunch of us got the COVID. I got it. There was no way of having church without just really exposing people. And it was a tough time. Being in church and worshiping together is vital to my soul. Sean, thank you for the song you sang to start with today. After a month not being in our church, to hear Victory in Jesus, one of my all-time favorites. And we have that in Christ. Now, I realize today that there are some who are fearful. They're because of all the things that have been said by the news media and all that sort of stuff. They're fearful to get out. And I understand that. And so we have tried to make our service available. Do we use the word virtual? This morning we were through YouTube. Hopefully that's the format we'll be able to use from here on out and all be working better. But thank God for the privilege to do something. There are some who have not been able to be in church for well over 4 months, but they listen and they're still connected with us. What if they didn't have that connection? So I thank God for that privilege. My only concern with it is that we might use it as a substitute when we shouldn't. Okay? I have learned from my experience with COVID that, for the most part, the scare tactics of the media is false. Not pretty well known that anyways. If you'd asked me before I had it, I would have said I believed that. I believe it even more afterwards. Many of you in this room have had it. I don't know how yours was, but I felt like I had a cold with a bad cough for about 2 days. Matter of fact, that Sunday morning I woke up, I could hardly talk. My throat was so raw from just sinus dripping back there. It was difficult to talk. I was fairly tired. My mother said I was born tired. Well, I developed a little more. And I remember one day I slept most of the day. And if it had not been for bathroom duties, I had not gotten any exercise that day. I did make myself go sit outside for about 30 minutes because sunshine gives you vitamin D, and it's one of the things that helps you fight things, and besides, it always made me feel better when I've been sick, and so I forced myself to go out and sit in the sun a little bit. But afterwards, I was so tired, I went back and took another nap. I can't remember how many naps I took. But there was a lot of them. I did find that because of all of that, and perhaps you did too, that I was weakened, perhaps more by the inactivity than anything. But I will say this, it was the lightest flu I've ever experienced. I was very contagious, but for me, it was very light. It was, I also know from many, many others in our church, I don't know if anybody that's had it in church that was really super sick. Maybe you were, and I don't know about it. Well, the great things that took place during that time, for what I'm so thankful, I had the same thing 3 years ago, but God gave me wonderful peace. I was told by the county nurse to stay home and to stay cooped up, and I did find there's a tunnel from my house to my office, and so I took that tunnel. And I spent a fair amount of time in my office, and so I studied. I did the devotionals out of Proverbs and different things, and I took time to at least 30 minutes a day to, as I mentioned before, to sit out in the sun a little bit and soak up some rays. But I had tremendous peace through all that. I thank the Lord for that. And my folks said, well, I'm going to die. And if I get it, I'm going to die. And for a Christian, so what's so bad about going to heaven? Seriously. And it was just a great time. This day has been on my mind for a month. I've been excited to be able to come in and to see people. Every one of you have little different habits, and you talk to me a little bit differently and so forth. And, some are very talkative. Some are still huggy in spite of COVID. Some want to shake hands. Some want to bump fist. By the way, don't bump my fist too hard because it hurts. And I don't know why. Got tender hands. And it's just wonderful to be with God's people. Amen? What have I learned? Well, to review just a little bit, I have learned that my opinion is not near as important as I think. And it's thus saith the Lord. Now, I've known this, but too often we get so wrapped up in this whole world and all the events taking place that we forget what's really important. And to just trust Him. The message in the next hours will be on that a great deal as we look to something, but we just have to trust God. By the way, just a little side note here, I'll deal with it in an hour. Don't let the events of today scare you. Does God have it under control? Has He lost control? Because things are not going to be like they were. Is that going to be bad? By the way, there's some things that are not like they were when I was a kid that I'm very thankful for. I'm thankful my wife doesn't have to take corn cobs and put them in a stove and light that up and wait a while for the fire to get going before she can cook some pancakes on top of the stove. Some of you cannot remember pre-microwave. How many remember before microwaves? I mean, you were actually alive. Okay. I mean, some of these young people, if they went on a picnic, they'd have to take a microwave and find an outlet somewhere with a 45-foot cord. They wouldn't know how to cook anything. You know, I'm thankful for some things. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful I don't have to go outside, go to the bathroom in the wintertime. Things change. They just change. Some things change for the better. Some things came what we think is for the worse. But listen, what needs to change is our hearts as we grow closer to Him and allow Him to give us the peace that we so desperately need and what we might call difficult times. By the way, I read this. I thought it was cute. The worst purchase I made this year was a planner. Oh, whatever. But there's some things we just need to get in perspective, amen? So, my opinions. What else I learned? Well, I thought marvelous truth when it comes to separation. And it's not something that's against us, and especially for young people, they might understand it's something to protect them. Something's going to help them through life. And then from my study in Proverbs, wow. Day after day after day, it was almost the same thing as we're dealing with what we say. What we say. Not only what we say, but how we say it. And the emotion that's with it, is it kind? Or is it that which is going to be not so kind? And I learned, I love being with people. I was so excited seeing you folks walk in. I wish more were here today. I hope some more walk in the hour to follow. We have some, I know, that are out of town. We have some that are sick. And some that are being very, very cautious. But I wish I could see all of them. I still remember with such fondness the last time that actually happened. And that was the day we had what we later found out to be our funeral service for Doc. Because that was the last big service together. And I look at that and I think, praise God for that. It was a good day. I saw Shelly walk in. Shelly's always got a big smile on her face. And she always looks at me like she's excited to see me. Pray for her. She's a little deceived, but it's always, you know, it's terrific to see that. I like to see Isaac. He's, you know, he's this kind of guy that just, I don't think anything bothers him. He gets married, things might change a little bit, but it's like whatever comes, comes, and, you know, it's no big deal. We'll face it and go forward, and, you know, I like to see that. I stepped over in the lobby for just a moment, and I looked out, and I saw Justin and what is your wife's name? Good night. I'm blank here. Every C in the book was going through my mind. You were almost married to Clarissa, but whoa. I saw him get out of the car, and I went, wow. And, you know, it was just exciting to see him. I didn't tell you that until just now, but it was. And I was sitting back there somewhere, and I saw Sean walk in, come down the side like he just always does, and it was just so good to be able to see. And he walks up here, and I think he's looking for a song and what have you, and glad for the one he found. It's just neat. And I go around and just, you know, I saw different ones that came in, and in fact, why am I having trouble with names this morning? Beth. She walks in, and she gives me kind of a half a hug thing, puts her arm around me, and it just, it was so sweet, and I appreciate it. And she don't know it, but from my perspective, I see a lot of white nowadays. Huh? Oh, are you talking to me? Oh, my. See Sarah this morning. Praise God for her. Pray for her. I was excited this week when I read her post. And, amen. There's always a fear there because she's had problems before, and but God can give strength through that. And praise the Lord for that one. It'd be good to see a little one pulling her around and all those kinds of things. I appreciated my daughter-in-law so much. She came in this morning. She looked like Linda. They were both wearing the purple. And I thought they were twins for a minute. Except you had a headband on, she was blonde. And by the way, I thank the Lord. She drove us down. I kept asking if she wanted me to drive. She said no, and she just kept on driving and driving and driving. And you made better time than Chad did. Hmm? I appreciated both of them. I was planning on driving all of that and having Jalen help me a little bit. And I didn't realize I had so little strength, and I was so appreciative. She says, I want to do that. And she drove us downstate for 2 or 3 days and flew back home, and appreciate that. Chad flew down after the service Wednesday night. Flew in just to drive us back home. And, you know, somebody wants to do that. Why would I say, hey, let me drive? But, you know, I don't know if I even did that to Chad, but it was good to have that. I learned this, too. All those years, I wondered, why is my wife so tired after a trip? Because I did all the driving. Well, I found out this week. I don't know what it is, but I was more tired from sitting than I was or have been from driving. Might have been because I laid back and shut my eyes a lot. You can't do that when you're going down the road. Anyway, I learned some things. I hope that it'll be a blessing in your heart. I hope that you can perhaps somehow let that bless your soul. I wanted all of you in here today. I wanted to call all of our classes, but I didn't. And just take a few minutes with it. So praise the Lord. Everybody good? All righty. Let's have prayer, and you'll have an extra 5. Father, thank you so much for this time. We pray you might bless in the hour to follow. Oh, Lord, I pray that those things that you laid in my heart might come forth with strength and power. Lord, I pray that these things that you allowed me to learn might be of help to each one here. And Lord, they might learn these things as well if they've not already. Lord God, some of it seems like we have to learn over and over again, especially the use of our tongue. God, help us in that area. Bless, we pray, in the hour to follow. Pray for those who cannot be with us today and those that are really susceptible to things and are just being cautious. Pray you might bless them. Thank you for the YouTube. Pray that you cause that to just be taken care of completely this week. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen.